You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey there, gentlemen. How on earth are you doing? This is your boy, Scott McKay, once again with another episode of the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. With me today is a guy I've known for quite some time now. We've worked kind of together on some things in the past, but really this is kind of the first real honest to goodness conversation we've ever had for you guys. And the topic is a super good one. It's first messages. What do you say to women the first time you ever talk to them? And we're going to break that down into three parts. We're going to talk about online dating. We're going to talk about text messaging. And we're going to talk about real, live, and in person. But first thing we ought to do is introduce you to Rob Judge. Rob, how's it going, man?
Scott, thank you so much for having me on. I'm a big fan of your work, and I'm really excited to share some good information on messaging and beyond.
Yeah, man. I think it sounds like a great topic. It's something we've touched on in the past around here, but it's one of those things that when you have a different guy who comes in with some new and exciting ideas, we really just can't get enough of it. And you certainly fit the bill. You just moved from Lost Wages, Nevada to Scottsdale, Arizona, my old stomping grounds down in AZ. Good stuff.
Yes, sir.
So, how are you liking it? It's warm, isn't it?
It is incredibly hot. It's summer now, but I'm really enjoying it. And actually, the dating scene out here is surprisingly very comparable to Las Vegas.
Oh, well, I would think it would be even better because, you know, you don't have women begging you to take them to the strip for, you know, $500 dinner. And you've got Arizona State University in your backyard. And I happen to know firsthand that the Arizona women are quite hot, figuratively and literally.
Yes,
which means
they
the bikinis come on and the sweaters go off in the summertime. And, you know, summertime is pretty much year round down there. So, hey.
Yes, sir. A lot of skin and a lot of, like you said, gorgeous women, and not the expectations are pretty low. So it really works for me out here.
Lots of adventurous women, too, who will go rock climbing and mountain biking and naked showering with you and all kinds of good stuff.
I'm enjoying learning that firsthand. Absolutely.
Good stuff. And of course, the Mexican food is Sonoran style out there. So you got to watch your waistline.
Yeah, absolutely. It is excellent out here. Absolutely.
Machaca beef with green sauce. You just can't beat that. It's good stuff.
And the breweries too. A lot of good breweries.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, you got that right. Forgot about that. So anyway, enough about us. Today we're going to talk about meeting women. And you've had lots of practice with this. I happen to know firsthand, you're one of those guys who was actually really, truly successful with women in real life. You're not just some marketer. You're not just a guy who plays this on TV. You know what you're doing. So let's get right down to it, man. Let's talk about what to say to women the very first time you ever talk to them. What do you want, man? You want to start with texting? You want to start with online dating? Or do you want to go straight for the jugular and talk about meeting them in person first?
I'd say let's start with meeting in person because a lot of the fundamentals, yeah, that you need to really make an impression on a woman the first time you talk to her in person is stuff that's going to translate over into texting and to online dating and Tinder and mobile dating, that kind of thing.
Right. I couldn't agree more. The thing that really crosses a lot of guys up though, Rob, and I'm sure you're going to agree with this, is you don't have time to think like you do when crafting a text message or an email. You have to be a lot quicker on your feet. So what would you tell guys who are saying, man, if I'm confronted with this, you know, chance to talk to a woman and I've got to say something cool to her, what's the best way to take the pressure off and just jump right into it?
The best way that I've learned to take the pressure off, it's twofold. Number one is whenever I'm coaching a guy to do this and I tell him, hey, go up to that girl and purposely get rejected, it's almost like this Jedi mind trick that the guy always does amazingly well with the woman when he approaches her with the mindset that it's okay to get rejected and he's actually almost trying to get rejected. Usually it frees him up. It opens him up. He's more expressive. He kind of says whatever he wants to say. So that's number one for your mindset. But specifically for the content, I also have a tip that works pretty well. And this is actually something I learned sort of in my alter ego days when I worked as a writer and a journalist. I never got writer's block. In fact, you don't get, you know, writer's block is like a myth if you're a professional writer because, you know, you won't get paid. And what I would always do if I needed to start a story and I couldn't think of anything, you know, first sentence, a way to, you know, a lead to start a new story would be, I would open up the dictionary or open up a magazine, or I would just take a sheet of text and point my finger to whatever word my finger pointed to. That word I would use as the first word in my lead or my first sentence. And then from there, it sort of would unlock this creativity. And the reason for that is, and I think the reason a lot of guys get tripped up on the first thing of what to say to a woman is not because they can't think of what to say or they ran out of things to say or anything like that. It's that there's so many options and there's so many things to choose from. And there's so many different ways you can begin an interaction with a woman that you get overwhelmed. And it's like your brain goes into, I don't know, it's like a brain freeze for original content. It freezes your inspiration. So a lot of the times what I do with guys is I'll say to them, okay, start a conversation with that girl based on what she's drinking. Say something about that girl's earrings. Say something about this. And if you can train your mind to zero in on something very specific, a lot of the times it'll open up your creativity and your inspiration. And guys really surprise themselves with how interesting they can be when they sort of limit themselves to a finite number of things to say.
You know, it's funny because in some ways, I think you're coaching guys with a different style than I do, but I think we're headed in the same direction and ultimately to the same place, which is getting women to perk up and enjoy them quicker, you know, sooner than later so that they don't feel rejected or otherwise. I don't actually tell guys to go actively get rejected, although I see the psychological benefit of you doing that. My version of that is we start off with women they're not even attracted to.
Hmm.
Like, we'll go to the grocery store and get samples from some lady who looks like Paula Deen. And the guy's off to the races, right? And then what I'll do is I'll do a demo with a really pretty girl, and we'll have the same exact kind of conversation, and voila, the same exact response.
And because, Scott, because you've trained yourself to take that pressure off, is that you're
right,
not
– right.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like getting guys – it's so important that guys get that shortcut to that mindset where – the pressure's off and they're just enjoying themselves. So at the end of the day, when you're talking, you're interacting with a beautiful woman, it should be fun. It should be enjoyable.
Oh, like, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I do is, you know, I don't blow them away by saying, hey, look, I can do this with a pretty girl and you can't. I'm a very empathetic guy and a lot of people don't really believe I'm going to be good with women when they meet me, you know, because I'm not visually stunning or anything. And so this is all with me being very vulnerable with them and kind of saying, hey, look, if I can do this, you can do it too. But the most amazing thing to me, Rob, is when you start an interaction with a woman, man, you're training her from the get-go exactly how to treat you. All these guys, my heart goes out to all these guys who are like, yeah, well, you talk a big game, but I have had nothing but rude rejection from these bitches for 20 years. And they look at me and wave me away before I even get to say anything to them. Rob, I haven't had that happen to me in decades. And just this past weekend, I had a guy come fly in here to San Antonio. He had a great weekend, and one of the most meaningful things for both of us was talking to 100 or 150 or 200, I lost count how many women we talked to. Some of them were prettier than others, but I'll tell you, man, the cuties were coming out of the woodwork this weekend. I mean, they were. I was trying to get him some average or not so attractive women to talk to, and it was kind of hard to do, you know?
Yeah.
But it was amazing how when you're warm, and I talk about warmth all the time, warmth, warmth, warmth. And that's very different than being Mr. Nice Guy or putting her on a pedestal. It's just being inviting, you know, it's like drawing moss to a flame. If you can smile with your eyes, if you can give her some space, if you can seem like you've got her best interests at heart and you bring out the fun, that combination of fun and warmth, and of course, you know, acting like a guy and being masculine, the woman senses that you know, you're going to have her best interest at heart. You're about doing something that's going to benefit her here. You're not just trying to get in her pants. And she senses all this stuff within like a millisecond. It's like a microburst. And then the next thing you know, she's fun. She's smiling. She's laughing. She's treating you right. And you can replicate this dozens of times in a row. You'll get a replicable response from women if you lead in that way. And guys notice really quickly it has nothing to do with her looks. It can have something to do with her mood, but it has nothing to do with her looks. So what you're talking about, yeah, trying to get out of your head so you don't think, oh my God, I'm going to crash and burn. Same principle, you know, that you're talking about. We talk about women, they're not feeling sexual pressure or, you know, already fantasizing about, because then it's just like ordering a Subway sandwich. You walk up to her and have a conversation. But then when you realize that women are women, regardless of looks, then all of a sudden the walls start coming down and they're thinking, well, I can do this, you know?
Absolutely. And I was going to add something or try to help guys conceptualize how this looks. I'll bet you when you're going up to those really pretty girls and a guy's watching you approach them, it probably looks like that you almost have known her, like she's like your old friend. I'm sure you've had guys say it to you, oh, but did you know that girl? You know, after you do an approach that goes really well because of that warmth that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And it totally disarms women in a good way because, you know, I think most guys are either very pushy, like a bull in the china shop sexually. Like they think, okay, look, you know, I'm just going to get laid here. I'm after a piece of ass. And they forget to actually enjoy the company of women and help her feel comfortable. You know, the whole idea of establishing comfort, they forget about that and they just go for it. You know, like you hear a lot from women, especially us, since we coach women, and they're saying, well, you know, I'm kind of getting fed up with online dating because these guys just email me wanting a booty call. It's like, well, you know, that's the old bull and the young bull on the hill, right? You know, you got to walk down there and get them all instead of running down there and getting one, which we've talked about in this show before. But, you know, this whole idea of just actually helping a woman enjoy her day more, just brightening her up a little without the agenda, what that does is she says, okay, this guy is helping me have fun. And fun to women is like catnip to a kitty cat.
Oh, and yeah.
Once they're having fun with you and once they realize that this is a boy-girl conversation, you know, you are a guy and she's a woman and she's enjoying this conversation with you, there's no reason why you two shouldn't enjoy the conversation more, hang out more. And that's really just the key. But guys are so wadded up with, oh God, what if I get rejected? What should I say next? And I love your idea, Rob, of like keying in on one thing, one detail, observe just one thing. And start the conversation about that. Then relax and see where it goes. Because she'll start feeding you information if you just relax and actually listen to her instead of what am I going to say next rattling around in your brain. I mean, we just kill ourselves out there, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, let's tell a quick story. I have an intern, this guy named Mark. Really, you know, good looking guy. Guy who seems like he should have a lot of confidence, but he was having a really hard time meeting women through cold approach because I would watch him approach women and it looked like he was going to the electric chair. He had this look on his face, you know, it's like, I felt like I'd say, oh, we'll approach that cute blonde girl by the bar. And it was almost like I sent him, you know, on I don't know, death row. But what I started doing with Mark to really unlock that fun side of him, because when I'm around him, he's a super fun, charismatic, awesome guy. So to help unlock that side of him, what I did was we found this clip. It was a stupid YouTube clip about these two fat guys doing backyard wrestling. I mean, and every time Mark would watch it, he would crack up. So I brought that clip with me to the bar and I showed it to him right before I had him approach this really cute blonde girl by the bar. And sure enough, when he's laughing and then he pushes himself into that situation and he's smiling and he's coming up and he's riding that momentum of those good emotions, you better believe that that girl opened up so quickly and so easily because of the fact that he was bringing that good vibe. He was riding that momentum of a good time. And when he walked up and he's opening her while he's even kind of laughing a little bit, but, you know, and clearly not laughing at her, laughing, you know, kind of like almost like, hey, the fun guy's here. It works so well. So that's another little tip. If, you know, if guys don't want to go out and purposely try to reject themselves, just have a wingman that can make you laugh. Have some sort of something that you can't look at and not smile a little bit or feel those good emotions. And then approach a girl right after you look at that. And I promise you, it's almost impossible for it not to go well.
That's because she's following your lead. Women do that. I mean, guys fail to believe that in our post-second wave feminist world, but they really do. It's like when you dance, a woman defines a good male dancer by his lead. You know, it's metaphoric. So what happens is if you walk up to a woman and you're relaxed and you have positive energy and you're helping bring out the fun and you're giving her safety and space, she's going to mirror that back to you. She's going to give you positivity. She's going to give you fun. She's going to give you, you know, space to operate, which is actually a good thing. I know you'd love her to smother you and, you know, kiss you all over. But, you know, believe it or not, in an interaction, that's actually a good thing. Yet what happens is when guys are stone-faced and they're nervous and they're afraid to mess up, that energy transfers over to the woman. And they shouldn't be surprised when she's a little edgy and she doesn't smile and she's real businesslike. I can't believe the guys who are businesslike on first dates, like they've got to go buy the book with this thing because if they mess up and then the next thing you know, it's like they got a paint by numbers approach to this thing. And the woman's just giving them this equally scientific thing back. And I mean, it's just weird to women. So one of the things I actually do, since we're talking about what we do in field, sometimes I'll say to a guy, this time I'm going to approach her, watch her be stone-faced and a little uneasy with me. I'll engineer it to demonstrate it. And I'll go up to her and I'll be like, hi. And I'll have low energy and she'll be like, hi. Let's say it's a clothing store. Do you have any shirts that might look good on me? And she'll be like, well, she's not smiling at all. It depends on what is this for? And then she's like real low energy. And if I'm really bad off, she'll start talking to me like your first grade teacher would have talked to you. And that's when it's really bad, because then she's kind of like mothering you and carrying you. And it's all because, no energy or whatever. Then I'll go to another woman, same exact situation. And I'll be really upbeat and I'll say, let's say you walk into a clothing store and there's a really pretty girl there and two guys that work there. And you're going to go up to the girl and go, well, I'm certainly not going to let one of these other guys help me out when you're standing here. I'd much rather work with you. So what do you have around here that's going to make me look good? Let's go for it. And you laugh. And she'll laugh. And she'll go, well, that's a good vote of confidence that you want to work with me instead of one of these other sweaty guys. I'll look at the sweaty guys and wink at them, like a knowing wink and go, yeah, I know, right? And then the next thing you know, she's laughing and slapping me on the shoulder because I'm relaxed and I'm helping her have fun. And I'm telling her, she's got terrible taste to give me a shirt like that. What does she think this is? And I'm just bantering with her and she's bantering back. It could have been the same woman. It could have been the woman in the last store had I engineered it like that,
Then, like you said, so much of it is that she's pinging off your energy. So when you come in and you have that fun vibe and you're teasing her a little bit and you're creating that fun space for you and her to interact in this flirty, not almost nonsensical realm, but it's fun for both of you guys. That's what she's really going to remember. And like, that's why these guys who think they're going to like drop their resume on a girl or, it's like, oh, I'm from, I do this and my name's this and blah, 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 blah. That never works because facts aren't interesting. Fact, you walk away and you forget the facts, but you remember the emotions that you had in the interaction. And what you're creating is this fun space for you and her to interact, to joke around, and create a memorable first impression.
You and I are both talkers. We're both from the East Coast originally, so this could be a very dangerous, like, 5-day marathon of a podcast. So, with apologies to the guys out there who are listening, we are not going to be able to cover everything on all three of these subjects today. So there's going to be a lot left on the table. Go ahead and write me at scott@thechickwhisperer.com and let me know if there's anything you would have liked us to cover today that we can cover on a future episode. And I give you my solemn promise we'll take care of it. But we do need to move on from meeting women in real life to online dating. And you just gave me the perfect segue because, man, if that isn't one of the biggest mistakes guys make when they write a woman for the first time online, I don't know what is. Giving her your entire resume and bragging about all your stuff and trying to logic her into writing you back. Oh my God, it's a killer. Yet I can't believe how many guys do it. And it's the sharp guys with good jobs and lots of money who are really, really confident in many ways who tend to commit the hugest infractions in this department, aren't they?
I could not agree with you more. It's so funny how these guys who on paper, they're like these dream boats, can't even get a girl to respond because exactly they're leading with their resume.
And when they write a woman, they're a shipwreck, not a dreamboat.
I like that.
Horrible.
That's good.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because what I tell guys when I know they have this problem is like, look, I could mop up the situation with one sentence and then they won't believe me. It's like the shorter the first email, the better. I have this little rule I tell guys that has yet to fail anybody, including myself yet. If it takes you longer than 15 seconds to read the email you're sending to a woman out loud, in a normal voice, not like a radio commercial voice, but like a normal voice, you're losing percentage points of probability of her writing you back for every second it goes longer. So you can imagine these 5,000 word Leo Tolstoy tomes and your entire autobiography in a first email, how not only is she just going to go, what? But like, second of all, it's creepy. You don't know anything about her except a profile and a picture, and you've already basically sold your soul to meet her. And third of all, and this is huge, all the intrigue's gone. There's nothing left to learn. And to me, I think your online profile should be all about intrigue. And I think your first email should be all about intrigue.
You nailed it, Scott. I actually have a concept that I like to call the movie trailer preview effect. It's like when you go see a movie trailer, you know, and movie trailers are always so much better, or usually so much better than the actual movies.
Ain't that true?
Unfortunately, right? In the perfect world, the movie would be better than the movie trailer preview. But like 99% of the time, you're so intrigued by the movie trailer, you have to see this movie because there's all these open loops. There's these scenes that are unexplained. And the way that, right. you know, it's so perfect the way that, you know, marketing departments in Hollywood pull these things together. And whenever I'm trying to get a girl out from, say, Tinder or Bumble or online dating, whatever, I'm always cognizant of the fact that I want to just give her enough to meet up with me, but not so much that I've given her the whole movie.
Boom. Yeah. And you know what's funny is I tell guys in their online dating profiles that they're allowed one zinger to prove that you actually have a penis that can get erect, but you can't talk about sex. And the way I've started to tell guys how to come up with one of these of their own, because they keep stealing my two best that I've published. There's one in particular that goes, if you start a pillow fight with me on a Sunday morning, you'll get the trouble you're looking for. And I think that's appeared in 5,000 or more online dating profiles now.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, it works. It worked for me.
Yeah. 5,001 after this podcast.
Well, the way to look at it, and I know this is going to sound kind of crass and it'll raise some eyebrows, especially from some of my listeners who won't expect something like this out of me, but you want it to cause a vision of impending naughtiness in her brain, but you don't want it to be the naughtiness. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if you think of a porn video with a really bad plot, what's the very first scene of it? And that's what I tell guys to start thinking of. What is a situation that if it ever went down would rapidly degenerate into just an incredible sex fest of the horniest multi-orgasmic variety very quickly? And just mention that very first scene. Mention what kicks it off. And then the magical part about women is their sexual imagination. Let all the women fill in the blanks and start anchoring all those thoughts to you until they can't bear life without having written you back. I think the best place for that is actually in the profile. But since we brought it up, I wanted to kind of throw that candy at the parade.
That is a phenomenal tip. And I can even see that being applied to looking at something in her profile or something in a picture that she has and tying it to that. I mean, that is such a key tip. Wow. Yeah, that is awesome.
Beautiful. Yes, you could do that in a first email. Absolutely.
Because like you said, it's when it's only implied, she can't nail you for being a pervert, but she likes that. She likes to play in that space where it's implied, but you're not doing anything that's overtly sexual or perverted or creepy. It's like you're giving her this fun space to play in her imagination. So that is awesome.
Something for guys to always remember is when you hear from sex experts that women like to be warmed up and you can't just go hit it the way men do. I don't think that necessarily applies physically, because I've seen a lot to refute that from a physical, biological perspective. But what is definitely true is women love the whole mental foreplay thing starting, and this is important, starting from step one. A lot of times guys like to do the mental foreplay and they jump into somewhere in the middle of the dance. But women love to just start by turning the knob up to one.
Yes. You know,
then two and then three. That's when it can happen all day. And this is a great tip not only for online but also for texting, of course, because flirt texting is to me the best and most important way to text a woman. And also in person. It's like the boiling the frog analogy, which everybody's heard before. You know, if you throw a frog into a pot of boiling water, it's going to jump out and go, yikes. Well, women are no different. Women are frogs, of course. So that makes the analogy pretty rough. But everybody's heard that boiling the frog analogy. If you put a frog, which is a cold-blooded creature, in a pot of water, and then you start from cold water and you just start simmering it and simmering it, the frog just gets boiled. I think you can do that with women, and you can just start from a very low level, start with the fun, then throw a little zinger here and there from, you know, step one. And then the next thing you know, she can't even believe how horny this conversation's gotten.
Yes. And at no point can she go back and be like, oh, you said this, you know, where she can call you out, or one of her friends, if she looks over the conversation, be like, oh, he seems creepy, because you're doing it in such a way that it's very under the radar. It's almost like sexual inception. It's like you're planning these erotic thoughts in her head without really doing anything. Like you said, one thing I really liked about the tip that you gave was you use a very specific word, pillow fight. And I found that there are words that sort of are like stand-in for very sexual terms. Pillow fight would be one. cuddling.
Bubble bath.
Yeah, bubble bath, cuddling. Like I have
spooning.
Spoon. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And stuff like that. Love child. I say it's one of my favorite Texas A&M women. Like we would have a ridiculously good looking love child together. And that implies that we're gonna have sex, we're gonna have this child out of wedlock, you know, because it's like a funny word, right? It's like quirky and it shows a little personality. And women never seem to get mad when you're doing it in these sort of words that are have a little bit of an emotional charge, but at the same time aren't like, you know, I don't want to say some of the words that you could say that would offend a woman.
Sure. Well, I mean, this is where keeping your eyes open and listening to her and actually believing that what's coming out of her mouth is the flirt or the hint that you actually would imagine it to be if you were looking at this happening to a guy, you know, third party. Like we can all look at a guy and have some girl we think's hot flirting with him and roll our eyes and go, oh, God, come on, dude. She wants you so bad she can't stand it. Will you please ask her out or kiss her or something? But when it happens to us, we're thinking, oh, you know, maybe she's just being nice. Or this is too good to be true. But yeah, on that note, one of the things I wanted to add to what you just said is you don't have to do all the heavy lifting if this is going right. If you switch the knob to one effectively, and again, I'm talking about if you jump in and the first thing you say to this woman is, hey, you and I would have a beautiful love child together. She may go, yeah, I think I hear your mother calling you, you know, but 2 minutes into the conversation, that could be fair game. Mm. Because if you start with turning the knob up to one, out of 10 or 11, if your Spinal Tap, right? But if you start by turning the knob up to one and saying, I think I'd rather work with you than one of these sweaty guys, right? Then it's amazing how she'll turn the knob up to two.
Yes, exactly. And it's so much easier to have this sexually charged interaction when two people are working towards it rather than you sort of fighting uphill towards that fun sexual space and she's kind of working against you. Like you said, it's so much easier when you turn to one, she turns to two, you turn to three, and it's this reciprocal thing.
Like this past weekend, like I said, I had a guy I was out coaching all weekend in field, which I love doing. And I love doing day game, as it's commonly called, and going out to talk to women who are working retail. And, you know, this little gal is probably 22 years old and I'm a married guy and I'm still doing this out there in the field with guys because I'm showing them that this isn't about trying to get in their pants or even getting their numbers. It's just about bringing out their female tendencies and helping them have fun. And then from there, you realize anything could theoretically go. You can make this G-rated, PG-rated all you want. And it's absolutely evident to every guy I've ever coached that this works. And one of the things that happened that you just triggered a memory of in my mind was we were out at a retail store and this gal was just precious and adorable. She's one of those girls that when she smiles, the whole room lights up. It's like, wow, that's a shockingly beautiful, pretty, kind, warm smile. So I just got into the habit of making her smile because I liked seeing her smile. She had actually disappeared for a second helping my friend to get situated so he could try on a shirt because he actually found one he really liked and wanted to try it on. And fortuitously, Rob, I got a phone call while she was helping him. So I don't usually take phone calls while I'm out in field coaching, but because he was disappearing for, you know, a couple minutes, I took it just to see what it was and tell him I'd have to call him back when I was off. And it happened to be a friend of mine. And right when I started the conversation, you know, just when I had established who it was, I saw the little gal coming back and walking towards me. And I said to the guy on the phone while I looked at the girl, I said, well, you know, I'm going to have to go now because I'm actually in the middle of a conversation with someone who's decidedly better looking than you are. And I winked at the girl. You know, we as guys are. He's like, oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. I get it, man. Call me back. He goes, okay, bye. And so I like pretended nothing had happened. And I was like, okay, so you were saying, how's it going in there? And predictably, you know, she smiled and her demeanor towards me, you know, she had a little giggle and she kind of played along with the dance of, you know, I wasn't meant to hear that, even though I'd winked at her when I said it. But when you do that little knowing wink to her, it's funny because it's like a pattern interrupt for women also because she doesn't know if you meant it or were just joking or what you want, right?
Mm.
So it's funny. After that, the guy came out and he had the shirt and it wasn't quite right or whatever. And the three of us were talking. She said something about how I had taken a quick phone call while he was in there changing. And then she turned and looked at me as she was still apparently talking to him and said, but he hung up with him pretty quick because he said I was more attractive. And I said, wait a minute, I didn't say more attractive. I said better looking. There's a difference, you know. And of course, then from there, it was push-pull all the way.
Oh, yeah.
So really, if you look for situations that are tailor-made for you to turn the notch up the next level to the 3 or the 4, then she turns it up to the 5 by, you know, recalling that moment, which means she wants to talk about it a little more.
Yes, and that's really key, is that when you can get girls to go back to something that you said, you know that she's enjoying the conversation, you know that she's enjoying herself, absolutely.
Yeah, she wants to know more about, am I really better looking than the guy on the phone? She wants some elaboration. So she's bringing it up again, which is turning the notch up. I think a lot of guys think we're getting a little too ahead of ourselves though, Rob.
Sure.
What are some first things we can say to women? Obviously, introducing yourself helps, and you look for her to give you her name because that's kind of reassurance, right? That's like the first two notches right there.
Yes. And one thing, even when you introduce yourself, you should do it with a little bit of panache. One of the things that I agree. Because that's the thing. You always want to be able to give her that space where she can turn that dial a little bit more. So I wouldn't just say, hey, my name's Rob. I would say, hey, my name's Rob with an R, right? And it was like the stupid little thing I'd say, right? But what that does is that gives her that sort of space to say, well, how else would you spell it, or to whatever. Because a lot of guys don't think about this, but I think one of the reasons that a lot of interactions sort of go sour or go south is because she just can't think of what to say back to you. You know, even if she likes you, you know, and I think a lot of guys don't take that into consideration, that you really want to be sort of giving her fodder or giving her something. So I've heard it called like giving her a thread to latch onto that she can just jump onto, and you know, you're giving her that ability to add her little spin on whatever you said, or add her spin to introducing herself in some sort of funny way.
And if you can bring out the playful in that process, even better. We had a waitress recently and her name was Michaela, which is a pretty popular name for millennials, you know. She came to the table and introduced herself. And I said to her, you know what? And again, I have no intentions with this woman. So contextually, you know, your mileage may vary. But I said to her, I said, you know what my 4-year-old daughter's name would be if I had named her Michaela? And she goes, what? I go, Michaela McKay. And she looks at me quizzically like, Mersey dotes and dozy dotes, you know, kind of response. And I'm like, no, well, my last name is McKay, M-C-K-A-Y. So her name would be Michaela McKay. She goes, well, actually, that's kind of cute. I said, well, yeah, I actually knew a girl one time named Kylie O'Reilly. So it's kind of the same thing. She's like, yeah, right. Well, you know, sometimes people call me McKay for short. So there you go. Well, obviously, for the rest of lunch, she was McKay.
Exactly.
I would say, hey, McKay, you know, and she would go, hey, McKay, back to me. And there, you know, there's this little connection, which is a lot of fun, but it's like a connection.
And that's the thing, the ability to make anything playful, even something as mundane as introducing yourself, I think that that's what one thing that every guy who's good with women does really well, is that they can take anything and charge it so that it's either fun or sexual, or they're doing it in a way that is interesting and makes a woman want to invest more.
It doesn't even have to be sexual, though. I want to underscore that. What I tell guys all the time is let your masculinity, let your natural aura of maleness do the heavy lifting when it comes to sexually turning her on. And then just help her relax and have fun. And I'm telling you, playfulness equals horniness. There's a difference between attraction and horniness. Attraction is the emotion I feel towards a person I feel sexually attracted to. The horniness is that desire to get down to it. It's more visceral and more biological instead of in your mind. So like, you know, like you mentioned the pillow fight, the beauty of the pillow fight is its physical playfulness, which leads to horniness. So your aura of masculinity is going to say, okay, I have a guy in front of me. The playfulness is going to lead her in the direction of it just becoming too hot. And you don't even have to lace it with sexual innuendo and all that crazy stuff. As a matter of fact, when I hear pickup artists talking about Kino escalation to make her more comfortable with your touch, and of course, I've been on record with this on this show for years, and things like, you know, dropping sexual innuendos, I just go, oh, please, why don't you just be a man and help her have fun, and then she'll just want you. You know, you don't have to do all these tricky things. It just happens naturally. And I think a lot of times guys get really psyched out because they want this tricky thing. They want this, you know, Jedi mind trick. And I understand that if you're shy or if you're not really quick with words, that may feel good. But I don't know about you, Rob. I don't know if you're a natural, but all of this is a learned skill for me. I had to dig deep and I had to like grind it out to get to where I had some facility with it, but it was worth it. And it wasn't hard as I thought it would be. Because ultimately, once you see the response of women when you do succeed at bringing out the playful even a little bit, and you do make them relax in your presence and you trust your masculinity, you know, it's like you have a new toy. It's like, I want more of this. I'm addicted. I want to go out and do some more of this. And then all of a sudden it becomes your passion to get better and better at it, you know?
And that's a really good caveat to make, that it really doesn't have to be these over the top sexual innuendos. In fact, that guy's annoying. That guy's like that sleazy, weird dude. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is the excitement of just flirting with her is more than enough for me. I'm just enjoying, like I said, like saying stuff like, oh, my name's Rob with an R, or a lot of times I'll ask women when I start talking to them, I'll say, oh, you have a bit of an accent, and I'll purposely be like, oh, I know where you're from. And I'll say some off the wall guess that's intended to get her to laugh and sort of playfully fight with me a little bit. Because to me, the sexuality is in the banter. It's in the teasing. It's in the back and forth where I'm teasing her and she's teasing me. And that for me is enough sexuality that I don't need to be that overt or be this weird innuendo, double entendre guy. I can just trust in the fact that, you know, we're enjoying ourselves, that we're having fun. And whenever two people of the opposite sex are in that sort of fun, playful space, we all know where that's going to end. That's going to end in the bedroom. So I don't need to sort of keep hitting it over the head by reminding her that, oh, I'm sexual, we're going to have sex. Like, that's just implicit.
Bingo. Yeah. And, you know, just to put these guys at ease, if you want to learn how to bring out the playful, guys, contact Rob or me at our email addresses. Rob, what's your email address?
Oh, it's just rob@datehottergirls.
Yeah, datehottergirls.com, right? And then mine is scott@thechickwhisperer.com. Get an hour of coaching with us. It's worth it. It's an investment. And we'll tailor make the approach to your personality so you can't go wrong. Because sometimes just trying to read all these principles out of a book feels like connecting, you know, slot A into tab B. And sometimes, you know, you just don't get the same model when you're done that you were hoping to, that was on the box, the picture on the box.
Yeah.
So, exactly. You know, having us work with you, gauging your personality a little bit, meeting you where you are and helping you with some real practical ideas for you and who you are, that's really a great example of how personal coaching really helps. Let's talk about texting before we wrap up. Obviously, a lot of what we talked about already applies to texting. The thing about texting is, like email, it's not a real-time situation. I've always been kind of hard on guys who try to have a serious two-way, let's figure this out conversation over text instead of talking to women on the phone. That's probably another subject for another day. This is about what to say to her first. If I get a woman's phone number and I text her something, what are some great things to keep in mind when writing that first text to her, Rob?
I can explain this with one principle, and that one principle is that if your name does not come up on her, say she didn't store your number, or, you know, the first time you text her, it's just, you know, she doesn't have your name saved. She should know it's you. And whether she knows it's you by you have sort of an idiosyncratic way you speak, or you reference some sort of callback humor, but she shouldn't have to even know who's texting her. All she needs to do is see your text and know it's from you, because you should have a way of communicating with a woman, even if you've only met her for 5 minutes, that she's like, oh, that has to be Rob, or that has to be Scott. Like, you know, no other guy has ever talked about a pillow fight in the first 5 minutes of meeting me. So that's, you know, that's definitely Scott guy, you know?
For example, if we talked about the pillow fight and joked about that the first time we met in person, you might text her, hey, I think we have a pillow fight scheduled for 6 p.m. tonight.
Exactly.
Still on? That sort of thing. And she knows who you are.
Well, not only she knows who you are, but you're taking her back to those good emotions you had in the initial interaction. That's
beautiful.
Yeah. So you know, that's I think is so key for a guy to get a response, is that she needs to feel all those good emotions she felt when she originally gave you her number.
The other thing there is, you have to kind of have some 20/20 foresight. If you want to make your texting easier on you later, bring up one of those silly little fun, playful conversations so that you have this little inside joke together, which makes it easier. Like, for example, one time I was talking to a girl and she said that she had done pizza delivery one summer. And I was like, wow, that's pretty brave for a woman, you know, because she isn't very tall, to go out there driving around 2 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of pizzas delivering to a bunch of strangers. She was like, yeah, you know, it's kind of fun. And I was like the only girl who worked there. So when I texted her, I was like, yeah, I'd like to order 2 large pepperonis with extra anchovies. And if it's later than 30 minutes, I expect all my money back, or at least a really good back rub. Right.
Another one of those key sexual words that also is kind of, it's like a code word for sex. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have the king of massage leading to sex on our team. His name's Trace Loft. So, you know, a little bit of a plug there. If you don't have massage your date, oh my God, is that like the key to all of this? If you can get a woman to let you rub her back and give her a foot massage, it's going to be on before you know it, especially if you can mix in some of that banter with the massage.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy stuff. Crazy talk. Other text ideas. How do guys not mess up the first text? I think that's what they're thinking. Give me some what not to do.
Well, like you said before, do not send a novella. She doesn't want to read a big, long text. And also, to me, cut the pleasantries. The, hey, how are you doing? It might sound nice. It might be something you'd say if you saw her in person. But on text, you really want the economy of words. And that really doesn't communicate anything. Anyone can send her that. It's not unique. It's not going to get her emotional. And really, it doesn't matter.
Nailed it. Oh, boy. You just nail it. Cordiality. Friendliness in a box. Like, we request the honor of your presence. Mm-hmm. You know, the hi, how are you doing? It was pleased to meet you. I would love if you would join me. Oh, my gosh. That's like taking a cold shower. That's like throwing ice.
Oh,
on the flames of horniness. I mean, it's just a killer. And every guy does this. Nothing says Mr. Nice Guy and I have no creativity, sexual or otherwise, than being cordial.
Yeah, like even the hope you made it home okay. It's like, well, why do you even need to state that? Like, hope you made it home okay. Like, what? Well, why would you even say? Like,
I hope you died in a car fire.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah. I'm like, what's the alternative? Like, oh, I'm glad some creepy guy named Rob didn't follow you home from the bar. And, you know, it's like, it's.
Well, that's actually funny if you have the personality to handle it. I wouldn't say that's a novice approach, but that could be funny if you had this super connection going on.
Exactly. If you joked about that, that would actually be better than saying something like, oh, hope you made it home okay. Or, like you said, like anything that's sort of small talk or cordial, or like I said, the litmus paper test is if another guy on her phone could have written her the same message. If, you know, if you and another guy had gotten her number that night, and technically when you read it, he could have sent the exact same message, scrap it because it's not good.
Yeah, that and first messages online or on Tinder on an app.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I am going to give a caveat to the hope you made it home okay text. I would contend that most guys won't even do that. So you are setting yourself apart by caring about her safety and security. And that is incredibly attractive to women. But I would find a different way to word it.
Exactly. And also, if you are going to use it, put it towards the end of the text. So when your text pops up on her phone, the first thing you want her to see is something that's going to get her emotional. And then if you want to put hope you made it home okay, Rob.
Or no, not even like hope. I think hope is not a strategy. I would put like, let me know you made it home okay, all right? Like a suggestion.
And what's good about that, that goes back to it's giving her something easy to respond with. Like, you know, so she doesn't have to break her brain thinking, oh, what should I respond? You made it very easy for her. So that would actually work. But you want to put that towards the end after she's had that emotional spike.
Right. Something playful. Then, hey, let me know you made it
home. Bingo. Okay, that's right? That's the formula.
Love it. Love it. Give me a couple more before we wrap up.
Well, like I said, it's situation specific. So if you remember a high point from when she was laughing, and it's very easy to sort of do this. Is that like you said, Scott, like if you can give a girl a nickname, I give girls nicknames all the time when I talk to them. That alone is a great first text. So if I called the girl, I don't know, a bratty badass or something, I don't know, I was teasing her. That would be my first text to her. Hey, you bratty badass. Are you getting into trouble today? Let me know you made it home. Okay, Rob, that'd be a good first text. So anytime you really got a girl in stitches where she was really laughing or she was cracking up, or even if you were a little awkward, a lot of guys are afraid to be a little self-deprecating, but sometimes, I don't know if you can tell, but I talk a little fast. Sometimes I stutter. So I'll be like, oh, wow, I'm so much more charming when I'm using my thumbs, Rob, that stuttering guy from yesterday or whatever. So sometimes being a little self-deprecating can kind of work, because how many guys are willing to do that? The biggest thing with the first message is you want to stand out and you want to be unique.
Beautiful. I love it. I can't add anything better to that. I think that's brilliant.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. Let's talk about how guys can learn more about you, Rob. Rob has this program that is not something that I would send to you guys over email. It's a little raunchy. The name of it is called Unlock Her Legs, which I have to admit is really a great name.
Thank you.
It's just kind of off message from what we really do around here. Guys, if you want to learn about it, though, one thing I have to tell you is that Rob does great work. He's collaborated with Bobby Rio, who you guys know to be just a genius when it comes to meeting women. He's got a wonderful woman in his life now, and he's getting to be like me. You know, he's kind of the Yoda. He's one of the retired guys, you know, training up other Jedis now. But Rob and Bobby Rio put their heads together on a really great program, and you should take a look at it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up the special URL, as I usually do, which is www.thechickwhisperer.com/unlock. How's that? Because we have a few Robs in our life around here. Rob Brindad being a key one who's on our team. So let's go ahead and make it unlock. That's all you have to remember, the word unlock. thechickwhisperer.com/unlock. It is an extravaganza when you open that. So take a deep breath before you type in that URL. And give that program a look, because, you know, sometimes you guys put these, you know, not safe for work names on these programs, you know, really to draw guys in. And I think that's really fair. But man, do you guys know what you're doing? It is good stuff. And this is how to really perk up a woman's femininity, how to make her hot for you. And I don't care if you're really a devout man of faith saving yourself for marriage someday. You better know how to make a woman hot for you, or you will be saving yourself for a long, long, long time.
Mm, exactly.
I don't care who you are. You need women hot for you. And that is a fact. So take a look at this program. I think you're really going to like it. And once again, that's www.thechickwhisperer.com/unlock. Did I leave anything out?
No, Scott. You absolutely nailed it. It's been a real pleasure coming on here. Like I said, I'm a big fan of your work as well.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I've always enjoyed your energy. I've always enjoyed what you bring to the table for guys and how to kind of get them out of their shell a little and being a little more social. So I really have a lot of respect for that also.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, anytime. It's been my pleasure.
You betcha, man. And guys, if you're not yet on my newsletter list, you really should get that targeted information almost every day designed to help you be a better man, get better women, and have more fun and go on adventures and have this great life as the man you were born to be. You know, that doesn't suck. You want that, don't you? Go ahead and sign up for that at thechickwhisperer.com. You can also see what Rob looks like, get some show notes there. And it's generally a pretty good experience to go to thechickwhisperer.com. So until I talk to you guys again next time, this is Scott McKay talking at you from San Antonio, Texas. Until the next episode, be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer podcast.